Isn't God good? Just he chooses to meet with us. He chooses to be here with us. I am so grateful that he does. I'm a lot like Moses. Moses was asked to take the Israelites and take them on a little trip. And he tells God, says, "Well, you're coming along too, aren't you?" And so there's a little, something happens and God gets mad and Moses says, "If you're not going, just kill me now." And I don't go to that extreme, but I do say, if you're not coming along, let's just call it quits. And then he does something like today, where he shows up, where he loves his people. Gosh. I live for days like today. So wonderful. So good. He is so good. That you want other people to experience him. You want other people to say, don't you want to have that same kind of experience? Let me tell you how great God is. And that's what I have done. That's, you know, God is great and he's wonderful and I missed the first part. I missed the first part of getting them saved. I said, come find, look at all his benefits. Look at how great he is. And I've missed the membership part. What you got to do, become a member. And so I think God's going, let's get back to some basics. And I was talking to Sharon on the way to Odessa yesterday, and we have this conversation. We have that start out, what's on your mind? What's God saying to you? And I told her, I said, I've been in a lot of hospital rooms, of bedrooms where people died. And she goes, really? I said, well, I was a hospice chaplain for a bit. And so, yeah. And I told her about this one specific time. And it was just heart-wrenching to see their family. And I was there at, you know, both my parents when they passed. And though it was hard, it was somewhat of a joy. But it got me to thinking, if you were about to leave, and this is true of even if you're leaving for vacation, what is the last words that you want to speak to somebody? What's the last thing you want to say? Especially if, like, you're leaving your kids while you go somewhere. Make sure you take care of the dog. Make sure you water the plants. Make sure you pick up the paper. Make sure, you know, shut the front door. and don't let the air conditioner keep running. You know, you just make sure all these things are happening. Well, Jesus had some words too. He's getting ready to leave, and he's getting ready to go up to heaven. And in Matthew 28:16-20, he's telling them, Go ye into all the world. The last thing, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I want you to do. And this is not like the first time he said this. This isn't new. Remember when he sent out the 70? Go into these cities and bring healing to the people. Tell them the good news. Tell them. And so it's not like I'm just throwing you out there, unprepared. He didn't do that. But this is the last thing before he goes to heaven. So he says, go. And I like that. In Matthew 28, let me go ahead and turn there. In Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. I've been given all this power that has been given to me in heaven and in earth. I got it. Realizing that they have already established this relationship. This relationship is established. If Clearinghouse, what's the name of that Clearinghouse where they give away millions? Publishers Clearinghouse comes to my house with balloons and a big check and says, "You won Publishers Clearinghouse, Arthur." Would Sharon go, "Oh, that's nice for Arthur"? She'd be going, she would be going, "That's part mine." We hit it rich. We came into something here. And so relationship has been established. That's what Jesus is saying here. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. God has said, "Jesus, come and sit at the right hand on the throne." So he's telling the disciples this, okay? And so, look at what he says next. Go ye therefore. Remember the therefore? Because what? All power has been given. Go. So you got nothing to worry about. You got authority because I have authority. Go ye therefore, because all authority has been given me. You get to rule. You get to go into this earth. You get to hear from heaven, and you get to go where I tell you to go. You get to call upon the angels, and they will follow your command. Do you understand this? I don't think that we do. I really don't. Do we call upon angels to do our bidding in life? Maybe we don't understand. Before I accuse you, let me point finger at me. I don't. It says that. It says I should. The Word says I should. Maybe that's next Sunday. But I don't. I don't use all the authority that I have to do God's bidding in my life. I don't use all the faith because I don't know enough word to know how much authority or power that I actually have. And I try to sum it up. I try to say, God, use me. And you can tell, you can see it. Come on. When I was praying here, I start out slow. But I'm asking God, you speak. You speak to her. Let me be the conduit to which you're speaking to her. All of a sudden, what starts to happen? God starts using me. And you feel it. You feel the power. You feel the source. You feel... And she does. She feels the power. She feels the source. What go ye therefore? All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. John 15. In John 15, starting with verse 7. This is a critical time in the relationship between the disciples and Jesus. It's a critical time because Jesus is about to lay down a definition of their relationship. It's a lot like, do you remember when you gave Kevin car keys? do you remember? Like you said, okay, Kevin, we've been teaching you how to drive. You haven't hit anything major. And now, yeah. But now, here are the keys, and we're going to let you go solo. Oh, God. We're about to establish some relationship here. Okay, right here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Whoa. Is that trust? You gotta understand Jesus, what Jesus is saying here. You say, we'll do. I gotta believe that you're gonna ask what's right. But remember, Jesus knows what kind of power he has. He's connected to God. I only see and do what I see, what my Father sees and does. Right? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Love was established. I love you. You love me. We are united. And love. Love is a powerful, powerful bond. Not easily separated. Shouldn't be. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He goes, look, this glue that's holding us together is love. Because I love him, I'm keeping his commandments. It's not the commandments that show his love. It's the love that's, I want to keep his commandments. The day that my son took out the trash without me telling him, I knew they got it. They love me. He loves me. He wants this house to be clean too. Now, it wasn't consistent, but you know, it was a start. 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Your joy may be full. Why? Because of the relationship. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's going, this is where it's going to start, folks. This is where it's going to start. This coming together has to come from the love that you have for me. I'm going to love you. Why? Because Jesus loved me. And because Jesus loves you. I love what Jesus loves. And I should hate what Jesus hates. Right? If Jesus hates sin, I hate sin. If Jesus loves, I love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's great and dramatic if we were to jump in front of a bullet for somebody. But that's not usually how it works. It's when you lay down what you want to do, sit in front of a TV and go and help somebody else. That's laying down your life. Instead of doing what I would rather do, I'm going to go do and help my brother. 14. Ye are my friends. Here it is. Ye are my friends, and you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you. Not ask you. Not recommend to you. I command you that you love one another. Understand relationship that Jesus is asking here. He says, I no longer call you servants. And the word servant here is also the word that he uses for slave. You're no longer my slave. Because the slave doesn't know what the master is doing. The slave just, he says, go pick cotton, you go pick cotton. You go harvest the field. You just do what he says. You don't question it, you just do it. And at the first, that's the way it is. I don't tell my child and give explanation of why he should do everything. Well, little Johnny, we're going to sit down and I'm going to tell you the reason that you have to clean your room. No, you're going to clean your room. Understand? And in 30 minutes, when I come back, it's going to be done. Or there will be consequences. You see, that's the kind of relationship he had with the disciples at the first. But then they came to this place. And he says, you're no longer my servant. You're no longer my slave. You are my friend. It's going to take that for us. It's going to take that here. It's going to take that in our maturity with God. When we come to the knowledge in our relationship with Jesus. When we see Him as Lord, first we say, ooh, He's our Savior. And we have to recognize Him as Lord. And then we recognize Him as our Father. Wow. You see the progression? He saved me from hell. Wow. Then He tells you stuff that you really don't like to do, like give up my vices and give up what I... Well, I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. Apologize. I don't want to apologize. I've never apologized before. Apologize. Okay, I'll apologize. I'm sorry. Next time, do it without gritting your teeth. Okay. Next time, mean it. Okay. The life. This time, He becomes Lord of your life. He sees to it. It ain't me. It's the Lord. And so, and then there'll come a time when He says, it looks like you've advanced enough where I can call you friend. I'm going to share with you some things here in a few minutes. In 2 Timothy, last week, in chapter 3, verse 17, I'm not going to read it to you again, but it says that all Scripture is for the man of God to become mature. And I told you, did you get the accent? I told you. It's in there deep, isn't it? that the definition of the man of God comes from the Word of God. What is the man of God? Well, I think it's right here. The progression of what God expects of us is that we be connected. The first part of this, He's saying, I am the vine. You are the fruit of that vine. And when you are the fruit of that vine, you need to be connected. And if you are not connected, you will shrivel up and die. There needs to be a connection. There's a scripture that I have heard quoted for the longest time. And I'm not going to quote it to you. I'm going to actually read it to you. Because I've always just took for granted that it was in there. But I'm not going to do that to you. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hereunto we do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in one old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is significant because a lot of prophetic words came to this house and for individuals. And this scripture, the part that says no prophecy is of private interpretation. And because of that prophetic, what do you take that to mean? Well, I take it to mean that if Joe Blow gets a prophetic word, then it's good for me too, right? No prophecy is of a private interpretation. It's just like all of God's promises are yes and amen, right? In Christ Jesus. All. That means Old Testament, New Testament, all God's promises are yes and amen. Right? I read it that way. Every time I see a rainbow, I think of God's promise. That's an Old Testament promise. And it's still yes and amen. Okay. Let's establish that. Got it? Okay. We, in this place, I believe, we have some things that God has spoken to this house. And so in that, in this house, we have some nurturing of His Word, of prophetic words that I believe God will make good on His promise. I just believe that. He wants to birth those things. And I don't want to cut him short by any way, fashion, or form. We're going to first turn to Job. Job? Really? We have a word from Job? Last time I remember in Job, it didn't turn out so good. Job. This was a word given to me in June 6th of 2010. Then you can lift up your face to Him without stain of sin and unashamed. Yes, you shall be steadfast and secure, and you shall not fear. For you shall forget your misery. You shall remember it as waters that pass away. And your life shall be clearer than the noonday and rise above it. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning. And you shall be secure and feel confident because there's hope. Yes, you shall search about you and you shall take your rest in safety. You shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. Yes, many shall sue for your favor. Amen. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. We don't have to worry or fret. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We have to believe that our confidence is not in our own. It's not in our own power or our own personality or our own charisma. Our hope is in God. What security we can have that our hope is in God. Wow. That was 8 years ago. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 12. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. A city not forsaken. This is our God. That was 12 years ago. That was 12 years ago that this word spoken in this place. God wants to do this. John 7. John chapter 7. I read about a couple, listened to their story about a Christian couple that got married. And they had kept themselves pure before they got married. And they were so excited of the way God had brought them together. And they were not able to consummate their marriage for 4 years and had got so frustrated that they were considering divorce. And so what had happened was that they said, we went and tried all kinds of things, and we prayed all those 4 years. They were even missionaries. And said, God, got mad at God. God, why are you doing this? We don't understand. And finally God spoke to them, and there were some organic issues, and they finally were able to get help. My point being that in the midst of praying, in the midst of all the things that they were believing for, they never gave up. They never gave up. I can't imagine that length of time for that. But I'm about to read you a scripture that was prophesied to me in 1998 in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 38. Now the scripture, I was standing there a man of God was here, and he went back and met me right there. I remember it distinctly. I remember him coming to me. I remember what he said. I remember every detail of this. And I've held on to it. And it's not until, I would say, not until recently, probably in the last year, year and a half, that I feel I have started walking in this. There's been a trickle. There's been some things that continue to give me hope. But nothing like what I have been believing for. Here's a scripture. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the least, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Like I said, I have been believing for that for 20 years. I believe there's more to come. I believe that God will continue to move and have His way. Last week, I moved the chair here and said that the river of God is going to come out of this place and is going to flow out into this city. You got to remember, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was going to read a lot more of this, but I'm not going to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says he's a master builder. And he has skills. But in verse 16, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know that the river of God is flowing out of you, your belly, flowing out of this place, flowing into this city, flowing into your house, flowing into every person that you meet, flowing and giving life and bringing forth fruit. Every one of you. Every one of you. It is the river of God flowing out of your belly. Prophecy is of no private interpretation. It is yours for this water to flow out of. It is in your belly. Don't you know that the Spirit of God abides in you? You are the temple. You are the temple. It lives in you. This place, when we leave, it's just a place. We are a church. When we congregate together, we have parts. I can't do what Jimmy does. Jimmy can't do what I do. We got parts. You. I can't go where you go. you go there. God has placed you there. So the gospel must go forth. Now, established by relationship. What's that relationship? Well, first it's with God. You know, it's got to be there. There's no substitute. There's a lot of people that have a relationship with Joyce Myers. I think Joyce Myers is a great teacher. People have a relationship with Rick Joyner or T.D. Jakes. It's not Jesus. Got to have the relationship with Jesus. Let Him speak that message to you. That uniqueness. Walk in the cool of the evening with you. Those scriptures, I hope, that word that I used, hope, was wishful thinking. The hope that's used in scripture is a surety. So I pray that you take those scriptures as your own. God's going to use me as rivers of living water to come forth out of me. I believe that. I believe that. I think that's part of why He has me up here. You be healed in the name of Jesus. You too.